Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Thursday, December 21st, 2017. One day closer, guys, 21st. Just say that out loud and then panic. No, I'm kidding. It's so crazy, though. It is. I've noticed now. I think, you know, it didn't feel like Christmas till probably 2 days ago because all of a sudden there is traffic everywhere. Anywhere you try to go, you can't. It's just crazy. I don't even know why people try. So I guess online shopping, with that being alive and well, it might have put off things until people went shopping. I guess that's it right there. I just thought of that now. See? It all works out. So today is Dream Theme Thursday, and I have some dreams, and I have to say, even I woke up today dreaming, and I remembered my dream as well. So it's kind of cool, but my mind is, I think, you know, as we get older, just thinking of times like 20 years ago and 30 years ago and truly feeling like they just happened. It's so crazy. But my first dream is from Chris Kip Woods, and he says, "Hi, Nadia. Hug. I had a dream. A man was sitting at a table, and I said, 'Look, I've got something to show you.' And a woman came in, and her third eye was light up and protruding. Then I was in a waste land marsh looking for a road thing where moving and disappearing in the corner of my eye. Then I was walking in town and looked over at a street drinker. Then I looked down at my boots and they were becoming muddy. The dream changed again to a woman I know and love who sat on my lap and said, 'I love,' and I said, 'I love you too. Thank you. Then love you.' Ha! Thank you. Love you." Okay. So to have a dream that's so disjointed, one minute you're, you know, sitting somewhere and someone comes in with this light and then you find yourself in a wasteland marsh and then, you know, the road's moving and disappearing and it's kind of like a disorientation. Stuff is just happening random, seems random. And then you're like walking in a town over a street and you see a drinker and you look down at your boots, at your shoes, and you're like dirty and muddy, probably from the land marsh. And then you end up in love. And so as random as it sounds and light and weird and love and somebody who's drinking, you know, taking a look at probably how you felt your own life kind of went up and down and all the way around. But the most important thing about this dream, because you see a woman with light, usually, you know, when you're first born, there's a mom who is everything to you, who is a light. It's hard not to be when you first have a child. And but you have this light, and then you go through life, and you see it. You start seeing things you didn't like, but ended up at love. That's where you ended up. And no matter what we go through, no matter why we go through it, no matter how we go through it, no matter what it is there to teach us, it all goes back to love. I have realized something in the past, I want to say maybe since I started writing, because in my entire life, I have never needed anything from anyone. I never thought to need anything from anyone. If anything, I was the one who always, when someone needed help, we were there. At times to the point of like crazy, but we were there. And even after I had the books and I didn't have money for it, I have to associate me writing the books with no money because they came together. Boom, bam. And I still helped people, and I would cook for people. I would let them stay by us when they had nowhere to stay. I would do this. I would do that. Whatever it was I could do, I never felt put out by doing it, whether someone borrowed money, stayed at my home. You know, there were people that left my house that I gave grocery bags of food to before they left. And it's just amazing that, you know, what we can do, we do do. Even when we think we have nothing, we still have something. It's crazy. But once you go through all of that, none of it matters. Because the only thing we remember is the love. And this dream, Chris, has told you that no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how low you felt you've gotten, no matter how high you felt you've reached, the only thing that mattered was the I love you. And as we grow, we realize how little everything else matters and how much that feeling matters. That feeling, to end your dream on that feeling. That's all I remember on this whole journey is the love. I can go back and rack my brain and try to remember every little incident, but all I remember is feeling loved. And I only remember it because it was the most powerful part of the journey. No holds barred, just the most powerful part of the journey. Nothing else can feel the same as when we do something in our lives and we overcome it. We overcome it. We get on the other side of it. And it's like, so what? Your boots were dirty. So what that you went in a wasteland, marsh-looking road that was moving? It wasn't even waste and still. It was moving, but it was moving on. It wasn't yours to walk in. It was just yours to remember. At the end of it, you say, I love you, to another person, another soul. You've done a lot of work in your life, and you got to see how disjointed it was, which was why you were disjointed. But it came together and brought you back to love. It's a good dream to have, even though you probably wake up and you're trying to figure out what just happened to you. Why did I dream this? Why did I dream that? And I wanted to say something as well about the beginning of the dream. When we dream, you know, what we believe in life, whether it's religion or a certain thing, a certain way, a certain person, we go to church or not, whatever it is we do, when we get messages in our sleep, in our dreams, it usually comes to us through that filter, because that's our filter. That's where our focus is. That's the language we understand. And when you dream about like the third eye or somebody being lit up, because we talk about being lit and all of this business about how we are, you know, something is special. Christ, God speaks to us in our own language so that we understand what he's trying to tell us. And for Chris, it's that third eye. That's very important to you. So he brought you that light through that thought. And I have to say, you know, I'm born Muslim, and I guess I'm still Muslim because, you know, Christ said it's irrelevant what you are. But the reason I say I guess I am, I know I am. I was born that, I'm still that. But I don't practice. Not because I don't think it's good, or because I think it's different or bad or whatever it could or can't do for me. But the reason I feel that way is once I saw Christ, I actually became non-religious. So my filter now is only Christ, but my filter used to be through Islam, through being Muslim. It's not that I just, when I learned different, I didn't change. I didn't renounce one thing. I didn't say now I'm this. It's just my filter changed. So I stopped thinking in the restriction of limited thought that kept me in a place of just understanding the world through that lens. My lens, the borders came off of it. And that was actually very, very hard to do. And the lens that you saw through the third eye, because that is what is important to you, is how Christ tried to reach you, and he did. And it was a dream you remembered. Because that's even a big thing, because sometimes we wake up and we think, for sure, we'll never forget, and kaboom, we wake up, our eyes open, it's gone. It's really, really so cool. So now we have two more dreams, and these are, I guess Susan wrote it last week, right after the dream theme show. Our show was on the 14th, and she put them in on the 15th, so let's go for it and see what happens. And one was on the 18th, so let's hit them both. So the first one is, I know Thursday was yesterday, but last night I had a dream about moving into a new house with my invisible family. When I opened the door, a dog was waiting for me, the most gentle and pretty lovable dog, very quiet and very attached and so positive and sweet. We had a very long and intense hello. Then I started looking around in the new home to be. My dad was there in spirit and guiding me through the rooms. All the rooms were empty, but they had the most beautiful wall paintings on them. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, I was amazed, and my dad explained very little detail about them. The most significant one was in the hallway. It was a Japanese or Chinese water and garden scene that spread out defying gravity and merged with a desert scene packed with sacred geometry and colorful fluctuations. The paintings made me turn around and around, so I was so amazed, and eventually I lost track of the room and where I was in it. I don't remember the information my dad gave me, but I remember listening and quietly absorbing what I heard. I woke up still amazed and so happy and joyful about moving into a brand new home, knowing my dad painted the walls for me so beautifully. I wonder now, but I guess I know what the dream means. Okay, so this dream is all about going back, accepting your life, and being ready to go on. When you have a dream like this, where you're entering a brand new open space, and it's filled with a dog. A dog is an innocent, right? They're instinctive. And animals are both home and here at the same time. So they don't know the difference, which is the innocence, the beauty. That's why we love them. We sometimes don't know why. Even people who are scared of dogs are fascinated that dogs, you know, can live and they're pets. And I know we just take that for granted, but at the same time, inside of us, we know what we're doing. We're hardwired to these truths, but the most gentle and pretty dog and beautiful paintings, an empty house, and your parents did not have to be in that house, which is the biggest deal of your dream. It's like the new you and the old you merged, and your parents are accepting of it, you're accepting of it, you're accepting of them, they're accepting of you. Everybody's fine. Everybody understands. That's why you don't even remember what he said. It doesn't matter. The only thing left is the only thing you needed in the first place. And that is, again, the love. The colors, the sacred geometry. I remember once we had one of the times when I was helping somebody and they were staying with us, and one night I woke up And I didn't know what sacred geometry was, so I know why we had this visitor. And all I could see was the whole wall. Like, my eyes could not see it. It was like in the air. And I guess everything's always around us, but what we can see and what we can't see is what we need to see and what we don't. And they explained to me sacred geometry. And I was like, wow, that's so awesome. How do I not know about this stuff? Where do we? Who knows about this stuff? But they knew about this stuff. And they told me. And I'm like, oh, well, that explains what Christ said. But I realized that I already knew about all that stuff. I just didn't know the names for it. And I'd be like, oh, that's what they call that. When I would travel through these blue tubes, I didn't know what they were. Somebody says, oh, those are, I can't even now remember the name, warming tubes or something. My memory on these things. But I don't get attached to what they call it for some reason. And I won't remember it, but I know what happened. And in this dream, you had a little bit of everything coming through, but all the stuff that was coming through was what you have grown to, not what you left behind. The fact that your dad was there in spirit lets you know that you've accepted who your dad, but also who your mom is. Because when you see your dad, you see a representation of the family, and you have accepted that. Even the Japanese or Chinese water garden and how it was defying gravity, you feel like you've defied all the thoughts you thought you could never change, never outgrow, never face. You have changed, outgrown, and faced. I remember, I want to say, I can't remember the year, but it was probably, I want to say maybe 4 years ago or 5 years ago. Susan came from Germany, and she was in Laguna Beach, and she wanted to meet me. And at that time, I was just like meeting everyone. I didn't know like all this stuff. So anyway, I went. And on my way to meeting Susan, we were both at the same corner ready to cross the street, and she knew it was me. It was crazy. She knew it was me. And so we met before we were meeting. And that day we went and we walked down the beach and we were talking. And I was, you know, at the time, it depends on when you met me knowing Christ, because there were times where I just couldn't stop. I was just like saying things to people. And even if I interrupted them, I didn't want to forget what Christ was saying. So I was just like, boom, 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 boom. And I was in that phase of it when I met Susan. And I just boom, 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 boom. But the thing that happened was Susan listened to me. She really heard me. And then she took that information, instead of just hearing it and it being a feel-good moment for that day, the next time I met her, and this always happens without a doubt, when I talk to people about Christ, things in their lives that don't belong in their lives anymore are gone. Boom. And then I see them and they look like there's like, what the heck just happened? But I started looking at Christ as a sieve. You know, you put everything, your whole life contents in this sieve, and you start shaking it. And everything that's small and insignificant and can fit through those little holes of the sieve falls out, crashes to the ground, and you just don't need it anymore. The hard part is that you have to deal with the separation of it from your life. Because there is a separation period. It's crazy, but it happens. And when it happens, holy cow, it looks like, oh my God, she told me about Christ and my life fell apart. And then I'm like, no, sorry, your life is getting better. It looks like it fell apart right now because this is the stuff that needed to go. The stuff that's leaving is why you came to see me. Oh, sorry, you really didn't want it to leave? I'm so sorry because it's leaving. And now that it's going, you will never get it back because now you don't need it anymore. And it's the habits that are hard for us to break. You'd be shocked how much we will fight for habits that work counterproductive to who we've become. And I remember even forewarning that, you know, be careful. Every time I really dig into someone, it starts stirring the pot so that the stuff you don't need can just evaporate. And it does evaporate. And then you're left with fewer things you can deal with. It's a beautiful thing, but you have to go through the process. And this dream is telling you, okay, in almost all the subsequent dreams you've had up until here, the last few, have also been conclusionary. They've been concluding, finishing. Okay, this is gone, but now you're walking into a new space. But you're safe there. Dad is there. Mom is there. Everyone's there. I'm okay. It's just a brand new time, a brand new life. And in so many ways, you earned it. You earned it. So now you're starting on a whole new set of journeys and adventures, and yet you're going in with the knowledge that you can face it. Instead of, I'll deal with anything except for this or except for that, and think about all the exceptions we have. But we don't need all those exceptions. Those exceptions are what's going to show up at your door so that they won't be exceptions. Think about that one. So I have one more dream. It's the second dream for Susan. And it says, one more dream to add, which now confuses me. I was swimming in the ocean far away from shore, and waters were unsteady and unpredictable. I was floating, no fear in me, not a bit. Two black dolphin-like features circled around. I grabbed the tail of one, and it started pulling me through the waters. Then it was getting dark, and I lost connection to the animal. Before I left, it was going to shore, but when I understood that it was playing with me, I let it go. I was floating again on the surface of the ocean, then I drowned. I died in my dream, and I woke up. I never died in my dream before. First time, I wonder, thanks for reading. All right, so you had this dream about you entering into this new world. And you have concluded that part of your life, which we just said like 2 minutes ago, maybe less. This dream, we die in our dreams, but we see ourselves die, so we're not dying. It's a part of us that's gone. Just like I just said, the story about the sieve, you put all the contents in your life. It just, it let you, you know how when, what is that called? Cremation. When people are cremated and they take their ashes and they throw them in the ocean. Think about it. You went to the ocean and you left that part in that big sea. Think that the creatures you were holding on to were black. And then you died. And you left it all behind. You have renewed your spirit. When we die in our dreams, that's a renewal of life. Even when someone else dies in our dream, we have renewed, their life is renewed. I used to get scared from, you know, oh my God, I dreamed, you know, somebody died. And when my kids were younger, I dreamed my son, I'll never forget it, jumped off of a, he was young, he couldn't talk yet. And I dreamed that he was on, because he couldn't talk and I didn't know how much he understood at the time, that he got up on a diving board and he was on the end of it and he jumped off and there was no water in the pool. And I can't tell you what I felt like when I woke up. I can't. I was in a state of mind. I was literally to myself inconsolable. But I remembered what my mom said, and it did take me initially a while, but when we were kids and I used to be scared, I used to go to her and she would tell me, oh, you know, Allah batihim al-umr, which means God just gave them more life. Those aren't scary dreams. And I have to thank my mom, and I have to thank God for my mom, that she knew certain things, because imagine not knowing those things. Or imagine sharing them, or not sharing them, but knowing them. Thank God I asked her questions. Thank God I spent time with her. Because when we were little, nobody wanted to spend time with their parents. But I was the oldest girl, so in a way, I was like an automatic recruited person. I had to help her with the dishes. I had to help her bake. I had to help her do this. But she used to read the Quran, and she used to talk to me all the time. But she only told me the really good stuff when I was younger. Then when I got older, she tried to scare me because she was scared. She was scared herself that I would not conform to the culture, because she always knew there was something in me that couldn't just live in a small window. But I did try. I did try for her, for my dad. I tried for all of them, but it just didn't work. But you let go. You let go of the animal. You were still in the ocean. You were still okay. Then you just let yourself submerge, and you just drowned. And you watched yourself. Imagine how powerful it is to have everybody in the world's worst fear happen to you in your dream, only for you to realize that we never die. Because if you see yourself die, are you dead? No. How powerful that is. Do you know that almost all advertising is set on the premise that we're scared to die? Almost every, watch anything you see on there. Whether it's a food commercial, whether it's all about you living a better life. When you see the commercials about the pharmaceutical commercials that now that, you know, have overtaken our entire culture, do you know that when they put those commercials on, my son puts it on mute and walks away. He cannot, and this is during whatever, if he's doing sports events or whatever he's watching, he will just shut it down. He cannot even hear it because it's counterintuitive to who we are and what we believe. We're not scared of death. So when we hear that, we're like, why do they talk to people like that? And this just freed you from everybody's worst fear. Because when you have a dream like that, that's a huge intel of information that, hey, guess what? You don't really die. You never really die. Yeah, you got to get out of the body at some point, but who stays here forever? We get old from the day we're born. We're growing into being older. Cool to know that? It's just so enlightening to have that in your toolbox, that fear is gone and gone forever. So you basically took yourself through an entire lifetime, the renewal and then the release of what you no longer need. And you no longer need it. So you bid it farewell, and you bid it farewell in the ocean, flowing waters. And those experiences you came here to have, you've had, and now you have another whole part of your life. Some people come here, and they don't have children, and they are their own children. They are their own children. When I meet couples who don't have children and you watch them interact, they actually have really interesting, beautiful relationships because they are each other's children. They take care of each other. They have nobody else there to interfere with that. It's very interesting. You guys, what a great Dream Theme Thursday. Thank you so much for your time. I will see you tomorrow. I love you guys so very much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.